Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JP and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JP and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback occurred. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.
Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
Whoa. How are you doing today, Big JD?
All right.
If anybody didn't hear me because I was talked over, I'm Lippo.
I didn't mean to get it in that fast, but...
I don't know. I guess I was expecting you to say something there. After you, I don't know. It's been a while. We skipped a week last week.
Yeah, we did.
Sorry.
And why was that?
Because. What do you think?
I had to actually put it, I think I put it on the site about you golfing now on Sunday. No, I didn't put that, but I don't know if this is actually going to, will have been aired, but it'll be a podcast. So we'll have a podcast every Sunday and I'll make sure I just put up a rebroadcast if for some reason we don't get to do a show. And why not have listeners revisit old Jabbercast shows?
Absolutely. I mean on the Ustream stream.
Not even on the Ustream.
Oh, are you going to repost?
Just post it. Yeah. So they get a new show.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean?
So you put
and they revisit an old show because do most people keep all the old shows? I wouldn't think so.
No.
You have them set to delete.
Auto delete after so many. I only keep five of my podcasts.
I only keep one now.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I'm streamlining.
That's wickedly streamlining. So and that don't make sense. One.
No, it doesn't really, but I listen to it and then what? Really?
What if you don't listen to it?
Then I listen to the next one.
Okay.
I do listen, so. And, well, actually, I'll probably change that when I add shows in again, because I did some cleaning and removed everything, and I don't have any shows, really, except, I think, maybe a couple of ours.
Okay. Cool.
So
you're cleaning, you mean, you do your podcasting on your MacBook Pro?
I have been, yeah. I'm going to be switching all that over, MacBook Pro, yeah. How did you get that mixed up with one of those?
It's silver and...
I know it looks a little nicer than that one that you got sitting in front of you, but...
It looks very similar, except yours got a button.
It doesn't look similar at all. Nothing about it is similar.
Same screen size.
Except speed.
The speed.
And it's multitasking and...
Yours is faster at one thing.
This came out before they had the beach ball.
I was going to say, that's what yours is faster at.
What?
Producing a beach ball.
Yeah.
Who can bring up a beach ball faster?
There isn't anything faster about this, that's for sure.
But it's still functional.
It's functional, yes.
Yeah.
It's as functional as the day it was bought, really.
Sure.
The computer itself.
Yeah, but the software that you've been slathering on it.
Yeah.
It's a heavy load.
The software is too demanding these days, and it just doesn't handle it anymore.
Absolutely.
And you have how many gigs of RAM in that?
4.
And you can put in?
8.
And when are you going to put in 8?
When...
You find it slowing down?
No, when companies start developing 64-bit programs.
Okay.
Because as it sits now, if your computers or the operating system or the hardware is only 32-bit, which this boots into by default, 32-bit kernel, they call it, that kernel can only access 4 gigs of RAM. That's the limit. So you can put 8 in there, but it's only going to see 4.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that how that is?
That's how that is. So 64-bit allows you to see...
That doesn't have anything to do with the dual-core processor, though. The processor works full blast.
Core 2 duo processors are 64-bit.
But...
Capable of processing at 64-bit. But it's the programs that got to be written.
But they still process at 32 and run both core. It's a whole one unit.
No, that's another thing that the... developers have to write into their applications to access both cores efficiently. They put new technology in Snow Leopard, which I just recently put into this MacBook Pro, that utilizes both cores more efficiently and also utilizes the RAM that you have on your video card as well. Mm-hmm. It's called OpenCL, they call it. So, you're not constantly swapping out virtual memory with your hard disk. If you got too many programs running and not enough RAM, it'll go and suck up some of the video RAM.
So why, when you have 4 gigs, doesn't it use 2 gigs only and not all 4?
because 32-bit applications can access four gigs. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the.
That's good to know because I wasn't really aware of that.
And only Core 2 Duo processors. Well, of course, there's the Mac Pros that have the 8-core ones too. It's the Xeon or whatever that is. Those are also 64-bit
as well. You say Xeon, I say Zion.
Zion. Zion. That says starts with a Z, whereas Xeon starts with an X. X-E-O-N.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, the Z is not actually Z. It's a Z over here.
That's right.
So that really messes things up. And how do you pronounce the Z as opposed to a Z?
It's both Z, as in
sleep.
As in sizzle. That's what I wanted to do that, but I didn't want to seem too homosexual.
Why not? Why not today?
Because I'm... No. I'm not
going
to go there.
Day he's coming out of the closet.
No closet leaving today. So what else is going on with you, Big JD? I heard you got a writing gig over in the States. Should we keep that on the down low? Or?
Yeah, I suppose.
Okay. Never mind.
I'm helping out.
Well, you're like apprenticing.
Yeah, apprenticing.
Yeah. So...
Just, I'm spying on them.
Oh, okay. I see.
No, I'm just... I'm on a writing team to help out with some television shows. And I guess it's, I don't know, I suppose I can talk about it. Why not? And right now I'm actually weeding through scripts. There's a big pitch session coming up and it's actually being held at Sinbad's. It's closed. It's not open to the public, but it's a big pitch session. And there's hundreds of pitches that were sent in for television shows and feature films. Scripts and all that stuff. So I'm working with the writing team right now, weeding out ones that wouldn't cut it.
Right.
And
so they call it a pitch session.
It's a pitch session where the people who we end up taking to actually pitch their shows will come in and pitch their synopsis and taglines for their show, you know, like kind of like the things that you see in the TV guide, the one line about a movie that's on or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And so they'll pitch their shows, and then a show is going to be picked to be produced by the Rolling On team, which is this production company.
Rolling On.
So they're doing the big behind-the-scenes thing is what it is. The whole, like, making of, changing... mostly auto workers into people who will work in the film industry. And that's the behind the scenes thing.
Right.
And then that's part of the reality show of the you know, the whole thing. And then they're going to be doing an actual television show in the end. And then the television show will be the actual real television show after.
And is there a future beyond that? Besides,
there'll be some takeoffs of that, and as well, there's so many scripts being sent in, and there's some internal scripts and things like that too. So, I mean, they'll never be a loss for ideas. You know, ideas, content, shows, whatever.
Right.
So once they get going, and the teams are all self-sufficient and everything, and then they can, you know, they'll be able to even do more than one thing at a time. So.
And
it's getting to that point. So,
who's funding this? There's some two, three guys who own this company, or is it one guy? Or?
Well, there's some producers and directors and that sort of thing. And funding so far is more than anything, I guess, coming from volunteers. People are volunteering their time to be a part of this industry that's coming to Michigan. Because of grants and so forth, and it's getting bigger all the time. There's a couple other ones around too that are doing some big things and opening up production studios, and I think there's an animation studio coming to Detroit, and it's some big stuff. So anyway, this is a group of video companies, production companies, and then individuals who do different things like me. I do screenwriting, and so that's my area of expertise within that.
Gotcha. And the fact that you came from the auto industry, that had no bearing on anything?
Not really.
Okay.
For me, my situation was a little bit different. You know what I mean? I didn't necessarily lose my job because of,
downsizing
and all that stuff, really. But I still have a story behind that as well. But You know what I mean? Just, I mean, because I'm not working, but I was an auto worker basically.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And no, but my big thing was, that one of the guys in the, on the video team who is, it's actually the director of the show is, an old friend of mine, and he was in audio production at one time. That's what he was, you know, at the time was formally trained, went to school for audio production. And, I recorded at their studio, back in the '90s, Wicked Angel. And, so I knew him from then, and I ended up rehooking up with him, and he had mentioned, you know, I'd mentioned what I'm doing now, what he's doing now. And he said, oh, you should talk to, you know, Ed about blah, 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 blah. Cause he's here from LA doing whatever. And so it just worked out.
Huh. That's the way things usually work out.
Networking.
That's all
it's all about.
That's what it's all about. And you think you got some pretty good networking skills?
Do I have good networking skills?
Yeah. I know I don't, but I know people who are just, they just schmooze up to total strangers just because they know that they can get in on a network.
I have no problem. Yeah, I have no problem. My networking skills are good. It just, I guess it all boils down to whether or not it's something that I want to do.
All right.
Then I will network. You know
okay,
what I mean?
Sure.
But if it's something that, yeah, I'm not that interested in, I might not be as aggressive networking.
Okay.
But I've been a little more aggressive networking with them, and I've been doing some pretty good things there. So
basically you want to get hooked up with the writing thing. Like you've written a book and you've written some screenplays and...
Yeah, that's what I'm doing there within that whole thing. I'm on the writing team, and that's why I'm going through the scripts, and that's why I'm, you know, I'm going to pitch too.
And you're going to pitch?
I'm going to pitch a show, yeah.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
What is in it for the people whose pitch shows get picked?
If somebody's show gets picked, well, their show's going to get produced.
Right.
That's a big thing for them.
Monetarily, I show, mean. Is, you know? Are they going to make some money or...?
They may not make money right away, but at some point, yeah, they're going to make money. If it gets picked up by television, you know, that kind of thing, or if, and they're already starting to get sponsors and things like that. But as the whole thing grows, it's going to be better for everybody. And as this industry gets bigger in Michigan, then these teams are going to be sought after to be, teams involved with the movies that come to Detroit, because they'll start making more movies. You know, like Gran Torino was made in Detroit. A certain amount of people have to be from the area to work on, and by union contract and all that kind of crap, you know. But obviously, what's his name, the star there, Clint Eastwood, obviously going to have a team, an entourage of people that he works with and has been working with for years or whatever. But they have to have people in the area as well. And while I'm sure there was some of that in Michigan, it's getting bigger now there, and they're going to need teams, and that's what they're working on, and that's what anybody from the industry now is working on there, is building up studios, building up teams of people and that kind of thing. And I don't think anybody's really in a position to pay anybody for all that right now, but this project Rolling On is making, putting together some teams to earn some sustainable income. And that's like utilizing all their, the production companies and video and all that stuff to do other things where they can actually generate money, where they'll shoot commercials for companies and all that kind of stuff. Like they're doing other right. things to generate money.
Okay.
And that they can also put into this. So that's kind of where they're getting it. So it's not direct. So there's not really any money direct,
right.
you know, with this.
Yep.
But, I've seen some pretty big people coming, through there already. Somebody that's been with Disney, somebody that's, done a lot of films. There's, people from journalists and other people from magazine, and they've had the TV, the network news stations coming to their a lot of their functions and things like that. The pitch session will have everybody from the news and media people, television
right.
and newspaper and everything.
Yep.
So it's going pretty good.
Sounds fun. It's a great industry to get into if you can sustain yourself in it.
I think. Yeah, because again, it's the arts, you know, and the arts are always tough, whether it's music or...
Right.
Actual art, like painting and that kind of thing,
yep.
or writing.
Yep.
It's difficult.
Yes, it is. It's not very lucrative unless you actually make it big, which is a very small percentage of people who are actually in the industry.
It is, especially when you look at how many people are in the that are trying.
Yes.
You know, there was one person pitching. I saw probably, and I went through a certain amount because I have two other people that are working on these pitches as well, going through them, picking out yes, no, maybes. And so I'd gone through maybe 80, and I'm going to say 10 of them were sent by one person, and they were all books that she's published and she wants them turned into movies and you know whatnot. And but we're not picking feature films right now, so unfortunately, those aren't going to work. But but just to show you that there's just people that do, and I think pretty much all her stuff is self-published. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people that are doing things like that involved in the arts.
Sure.
But just don't.
Have you ever heard of the Pixel Core?
The what?
Pixel Core.
I might be thinking of Pixel, the animator.
Pixar?
Pixar, yeah.
This is the Pixel Core, which is run by Alex Lindsay. They're out of San Francisco. And it's kind of like the same thing. It's kind of like a cooperative. It gets people into the industry, you know, everything from gaffers to cameramen to floor managers or whatever. And it basically, it's like a guild kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You come in and you learn and you go out on shoots to make a training video or do, you go out and scout locations for movie companies. You know, just go, we need this location here. And they do all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's basically the same kind of thing. They're from the ground up kind of thing.
Right.
They're not mainstream. Mm-hmm. So they're the go-to people because for one thing, it's less expensive. And for another thing, it's there's people on staff who are, they're pros. Alex Lindsay, he worked at, what was the name of the company that worked on Star Trek? Or not Star Trek, but Star Wars?
It's Lucasfilm or something?
No, the light and sound thing.
No, I don't know.
I don't know. I'll look it up and mention. But anyway, that's where he's from. He worked on Star Wars, this guy. Mm-hmm. So... and it sounds very similar to that. And it sounds intriguing to me. I'd love to get into that myself.
Well, the cool thing about it is the fact that when the movies come or they need people, they can pick from these teams. And these are people that have already done things and they're teams of people. So they can get, you know, everybody as a group, as opposed to finding somebody from makeup, finding somebody from, you know, individuals and that kind of thing that want to do things and don't get a chance to. So,
right.
It's pretty good in that respect.
Awesome. So when you go across the border, do you say I'm going to work?
No. I'm just over there for, you know, a meeting or something. So it's not like I'm not being paid or whatever. So I just do what I want for now. And the time comes where I actually have to do something for real, then, you know, I'd get some kind of work permit or something.
Right.
Plus it's not, you know, I'm in a position probably to do a lot of my work from home. So it's not so bad. I go for some meetings and that, but I don't really have to do, you know, work over there.
Yes, you have a good situation over here. For one thing, you're really close to the border.
Yeah.
Like you can be, and you can actually see the other side.
I could probably throw a pair of binoculars in front of my eyes and see them. And they're not far.
Oh, they're really close?
It's close anyway, yeah. It's just on the other side of 94, I think, or before 94, maybe.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. You want to get into something else?
Yeah, I guess. Lester, you got anything going on yourself that's...
I wanted to... I got a little anecdote about... on Thursday, I was going down the road near my house, Myers Road, and I got a ticket.
You did? For?
Yeah, for speeding.
Oh, you weren't... Because of the 50 mile an hour area or something?
It was 80 kilometers an hour going down the
and
road.
And you were speeding?
She said she had me going 110, but I went around a jogger.
Okay.
I wasn't speeding. Seriously, I wasn't speeding. I wouldn't go 110 in an 80 down there. Those people, I know those people who live down that road.
Right. Did you tell her that?
Well, she wouldn't have me talking to her. She was just pissed. She goes, you were doing 110 and you passed that jogger. She didn't say you were going 110 when you passed that jogger or I don't understand what the jogger had anything to do with it at all. But she said I was going 110. I was following you. No radar. I was just following you. That's what she said. Mm-hmm. So I just thought the cops have... They're just power tripping. And they come down. You were doing 110. Boom! 30 over on in an 80.
Yeah, like, you can bring that down and...
Yeah, I'm going to have to, obviously.
Get it, yeah.
I'm going to have to do something about
it. It's got
to
be a fair size fine, too.
220.
Yeah.
Totally stupid. And so the next day I checked what time the ticket was and I went out there and sure enough that chick's jogging at the exact same place, exact same time. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, goes, do you remember the cops driving by here yesterday? And she goes, oh yeah. I goes, do you remember me passing you? She goes, yeah, I do remember you, but she goes, I never thought they were chasing you. I thought there was an emergency that they were going to.
Yeah. You should have her as a witness then, why don't you?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to need a witness if it goes to like trial or something.
You can have it go to trial if you want. You can go through the whole thing to deny it 100%.
And just
if you don't, if you go and you want to fight the ticket, they're going to tell you that. It's either going to be did you do it or didn't you do it. You're going to be guilty with an explanation, or you're going to be not guilty 100%.
Right.
Which you would do, and they would just you'd have to go to court.
Right.
So she may have to go to court, or you might be able just to get a testimony thing and have it in front of an affidavit done. Yeah.
But just to show you, so that was my story, that I was nabbed by pissed off chick. And they got the power.
That's like the one that did me when I was through the red light. Well, she gave me a ticket for going through a red light. And it was one of those last second things, you know what I mean? And it was pretty busy. She was nowhere near me. Took her all the way from way down on Lauzon Parkway to down on Jefferson to catch up to me because there was so much traffic and everything. And I was like, yeah, I did kind of run that light at the last second, but I wasn't going to slam on my brakes or anything because there was a lot of traffic around. I didn't want to get hit from behind or anything like that. So I went and fought it. But mine was a little different, I guess. It was guilty with an explanation. And so I had to go before a judge, but I didn't have to go to court because I didn't say that I didn't do it, period. You know what I mean? Which I would do if I was you, especially if you can get the witness. You won't pay that ticket.
Can I get a witness?
Hey.
Yeah, so I thought that was stupid. Anyway.
This is Big JD's grandma, and you're listening to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo.
Straight from the newsroom floor and the walls and the ceiling, it's time for news from around the world and sometimes out of this world from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
And here we are in the newsroom.
Did you vacuum here? This looks very nice.
No.
Oh.
Needs it though.
Maybe Lana did.
Nope. It's not allowed in my room.
Whatever.
She did some major housework though over the last few days. She was off for a week, so.
Oh, just a vacation time?
Yeah, she was off and she didn't go anywhere and just hung around and enjoyed herself.
Good for her. You know, is she working relaxed, this long Labor Day weekend?
She works, yeah. She work all weekend. Is it a holiday? When's a holiday? Monday? Work Monday?
No, I don't work Monday.
No,
I didn't work yesterday either. 4-day holiday. Labor Day.
That means I won't get my snow leopard Monday either.
Right. Are you planning on going to the Labor Day parade on Monday? 9:30.
I was, no. Is there a Labor Day parade?
Is there a Labor Day parade?
Yeah.
You're in Windsor, Ontario, buddy. Of course there's a Labor Day parade.
Oh, okay. Am I?
And since we're in the newsroom, this is kind of news. It was in the Star this week. They said to tell the mayor, don't show up for the Labor Day parade.
Ooh.
Don't show up. Because we had a lengthy strike. Mm-hmm. 15 weeks with the QP union here, which is the Canadian Union of Public Employees. And basically, the mayor made it personal. And why did he make it personal? I think it might have had something to do with the fact that union workers picketed in front of his house. I think that was the wrong tactic there for sure.
Yes.
So he made it personal and words were said and eventually he did get it so that new hires do not get a pension. That's a big thing. A pension is a huge thing. Whereas the people who are working right now, they're going to get a pension when they retire. And the mayor wanted to get rid of that to save money. So.
That's not good.
Yeah, we're all racing towards the bottom line.
Racing towards the bottom is what's happening.
The bottom, that's what I meant to say, yeah. As low as you can go.
It's my news.
I'm not going to take your news.
Okay.
I already said my news. Oh, that's one piece of my news, but.
Oh, okay. Well, let me get this in then before you scam me. The Beatles are coming. Fab Four fans are awaiting September 9th release of the band's remastered catalog and Beatles-themed rock band.
Number 9.
To commemorate the occasion.
Number 9. And what else? I might also say the other part.
What is the other part?
The conjecture.
What is the conjecture, though?
On September 9th, on the exact same day, Apple's having a music event. Something to do with iPods. They have the chick on the invitation with the iPod in her hand doing a dance of some kind. Come to some convention center in San Francisco and we're going to have an event. We're going to announce something.
What are they announcing, I wonder?
Well, new iPods, for sure. They're saying there's going to be cameras in the...
iPod Touch?
Video in the iPod Touch and...
And camera.
And still cameras in the Nanos and their...
Shuffles. The little and baby ones.
Classic.
Ooh, the classic, man. I remember my classic. You still have your classic, eh?
Yeah, I got it right here.
The big black guy?
Yeah.
Nice. Big black. Wow, I miss that.
That thing is like 3.5 inches long.
Yeah.
My iPod classic, that is.
Yeah.
You don't have your classic?
No, I swapped it, remember, with Reno for the iPod
for the touch.
So
right,
I could continue being a part of the Easy Mac podcast.
Like he couldn't own two of the same thing. Yeah. So anyway, they're saying that there's going to be the Beatles are finally going to be on iTunes because it's all remastered. It
right.
just finished being remastered. Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to buy box sets. And I didn't know this, but a lot of the first Beatles albums were recorded in mono.
Yes.
And they stereoized them mm-hmm. later on. Yeah. See, I didn't know that. And supposedly these remastered versions are going to be in mono if you want them, or you can get them in stereo, except the ones that were recorded in stereo. Like Let It Be, and I think the White Album, and Revolver, and all those.
Later, ones. Some of the later ones.
The later ones, yeah. So those are going to be available. And I have to think they're going to sound pretty good remastered. The Beatles stuff remastered, that's going to be pretty cool.
I never minded the sound of the Beatles stuff as it is. So no, yeah, no, it's going to be cool.
And of course he never minded it. It's all awesome stuff. That was, what's his name? George Martin produced mm-hmm. that stuff.
Who did all the new remastering, do you know?
A part of his team.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was hand.
Is he still alive, that guy?
I think he's alive, yeah. Okay. He's no young cat, but...
And who owns all that?
Who owns
Michael
all what?
Jackson owned all that stuff that got remastered? Or what's the deal with that lot? I know he owned a lot of Beatles stuff.
Yeah, but he sold a lot of that stuff off because he was in financial straits.
But he sold a lot of it off or all of it off? Like all the recordings and everything?
It's just the publishing. It's all
that
just,
he had?
Yeah, publishing rights. So you can sell it to Nike or... You know, whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't think he owns, if he owns any, the estate. He doesn't own anything right now except the coffin he's laying in right now.
Yeah. It's probably not bought and paid for either.
Or the half of the island that he's sharing with Elvis.
Half of the island?
Yeah. There's the theory that Elvis told him how to kill himself or pretend how to kill himself. And then you come over and visit me on my island. We'll live here for the rest of our days and make music.
If there's a whole bunch of people named Elvis in a room, are they Elvi?
Yes, they are. Elvi.
Because they're the Elvi.
They're not Elvises.
Yeah, it's the plural of a bunch of Elvises. Any other news?
Yeah, there's lots of news, of course. We
have a show here to do here.
And we're going to talk about something very near and dear to our hearts on the show. But first, you must have some other news too, no? That's the only thing we're going to talk about is the Beatles.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm going to talk about.
Beatles coming to Rock Band. You see, I don't want to get too serious on you here either, you know. Yeah, I guess that's it. We can. What are you saying? Yeah, I see it. We're having fun talking because we haven't talked in 2 weeks.
It's been a while, yeah.
It's been a while. Oh, the dude who got killed on the... I wanted to ask your opinion about that. The biker in Toronto. Bike courier? You familiar with the story?
No.
Oh, my. You are under a rock.
I've been out of touch.
If you haven't heard about that, that's crazy. The ex-attorney general for Ontario, he's in Toronto, he's driving his Audi convertible, and a bike courier grabs onto his car.
To catch a lift.
But he's not, like, working or anything, but he's a bike carrier by it. That's what he does during the day. And he's got a buzz on, and he's already been picked up by the cops. He had an argument with his girlfriend, cops were called or whatever. So he's just like a half an hour before this, the cops had him in the backseat of the car, no charges were laid, he was let go. And half an hour later, he's driving down Bloor Street, grabs onto this guy's Audi, and a few words were said, like, get the F off my car, and mm-hmm. or whatever. And he wouldn't do it. He had, like, started arguing with the guy. So the guy ended up going in the other lane to try to brush him off on stuff on the side of the road, like, you know, trees and planters and stuff. Sure enough, he fell off and went under the tire, and got killed.
Okay, cool. So,
cool. There's nothing cool about it.
Where do you get all the Canadian news anyway?
Well, that's all over the place.
Yeah. I don't see anything that's Canadian. Obviously. I don't want to see anything that's Canadian.
So anyway, he's the ex-attorney general. I don't know. He went too far to try to get the kid off the bike. He's not a kid. He's 33 years old.
Well, he's the ex-attorney general, so he's not the attorney general.
Right.
The other guy is a courier, but he's not on duty. So right. It kind of evens itself out. Yeah. It's cool.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's for the guy to brush him, to do whatever. He could. Let go of my car.
No, I don't know. I mean, yeah, what can you do, really? I don't know. I mean, I don't know that he should have did it that way. Maybe he should have slowed down and stopped, period. You know, or something.
Exactly. That's what I think.
Not tried to get him off the car in some
by
physical
going
way.
Going into the other lane.
Yeah, it's not good. So what did happen to him?
So
do we know yet?
He got thrown in jail. He's put up his bail and he's going to be going to court soon. September 9th, I think, is when he gets his...
may get in some trouble for that, but I don't know if it'll be for all that long. You know, I don't know if he'd get a long sentence for it, but it's got to be some kind of a manslaughter type thing.
Dangerous driving causing death is what he got charged with.
They have a name for everything, and I've never heard of that name before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dangerous driving causing death.
There's impaired driving causing death, I know.
Yeah?
Impaired driving causing serious injury as well is another one.
They must have a name for everything, really.
Every charge is in the book, and they can throw the book at you, Mr. Big JD.
But will they?
I don't know, unless you write it.
Yeah.
The book they threw at you is the book you wrote.
Wrote the book of love.
Ooh. Anyway, we want to start talking about our...
We're out of time.
All right. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody.
The show topic this week is... what is it exactly? I'd like to know. It's home, isn't it?
Home.
And is that what it's actually called? No, I see we're not on Ustream at the moment.
No, we're not on Ustream. We could stream it if you wanted to.
We could. We have.
Could have, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't even think
of
that.
You're joining us in the middle of the Jabbercast. So the show's called Home, and they say home is where you make it or where your bed is or where you lay your hat. And there's something else, too. Something else.
Home is where the heart is.
There you go. What about moving to a new country? Do you consider the place that you lived in the longest home or, all that junk?
You're just tired of reading as well.
Let's go on. Pretty much. I've had enough.
Okay.
Sometimes you feel more at home someplace else. So, and our home is, apparently our home is Ustream Sundays, but we're on our way back home.
Right. Sundays at 11 o'clock.
But is that home? I think WKBR will always be home.
Or All Talk Radio.
Ooh, All Talk. Remember those days. Back home on All Talk Radio.
So nostalgic. You've lived in Windsor your whole life?
I lived in Windsor my whole life, yeah. I've lived briefly outside of Windsor, but I was born and raised here and live here.
So. Right. Now, the home that you grew up in as a kid, would you consider that home?
Yeah, I think that'll always be the main place I would call home, I think.
Yeah, I was always attached. And for a long period of time, like after I moved out of the house, I thought, if my house ever... The house I grew up in goes up for sale. I'm going to buy it because my dad built that house. So it's a relatively newish house built in the 60s. I was just going to buy that house up until just a little while ago. And because now it's kind of getting run down. People living in it are like hicks or something. They got crap in the yard and they're just wrecking it. But anyway, I always thought of that as my home for sure. The home that you grew up in. And so obviously Windsor is your hometown. And I grew up in Bell River, but now I live in Woodsley. But I still have an affection for Bell River. If I had a really good deal on a house in Bell River, I would scoop it and move in for sure. I like Bell River. A lot of people don't, but I do. That's silence.
That is silence. What do you think? What comes to mind, I guess, when you think about home... That is your home now, and you talk about home, but then think back about where you grew up. What does it make you think or feel about home now? Or is home now just the way it is and where you're at? Is that's home?
No, I think events have to take place at a certain place where you're living to make it your home. Certain things like
what might they be?
Well, raising children is one thing,
right?
So that's one thing
because that's home for them.
It's definitely home for them, and I'm conscious of that my kids are going to remember this house that I'm living in right now for the rest of their life, just like I remember the house that I grew up in. So I try to make that, you know, I try to...
Were your kids born at a time when your dad was still in the other house, your mom and dad, or with the house that you lived in as a kid? No,
my kids don't know that house. I pointed out to them. That's where I grew up as a kid. That's my front yard. But so I'm aware of that when we do anything around the house, you know, you change things like getting rid of the pool or, you know, you're doing stuff around the house. There's things that they object to, like, oh, you're going to do that? Really? And you can see the look in their eye like, oh, I might miss that kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know, whatever it is, you know, you move something around or you do something.
Yeah.
Because it's just the way that they just think of that. That's just the way it's always been and it's the way it should be kind of thing.
That's like when I moved out of the house and my dad made my bedroom into a big bathroom with a jacuzzi tub and everything like that. And to me, it was like, wow, that's like, just changes everything for me.
Yeah.
You know?
You've taken that out of my consciousness now.
Taken, yeah.
It's gone. He couldn't wait for you to leave, obviously.
He's, you know what was funny? At one point in time, like I was really close to my dad, but at one time I was going to take my mother's apartment over and she lived on Riverside Drive. And I was working at Chrysler's, you know, making good money. And
you're living on Riverside Drive.
My mom's going to be leaving there and I could, but I could take her apartment over and she's got a pool there and everything. And it'd be pretty cool, you know, because she was moving out to Arizona. And my dad was furiously mad about that, very upset. Said, if you move there, then you're never coming back here. You know, he was really mad because I was leaving him.
Oh.
Because I lived just with my dad, really.
Right.
And so I didn't, and I stayed home. And then not too long after that, he had met somebody and she wanted the kids out of the house, which was me and my brother was there part time because he lived with his girlfriend most of the time. And so my dad said, you guys got to go. And then boom, right away, my bedroom turned into the biggest, beautifulest bathroom with a jacuzzi tub and everything. And our old bathroom was a big walk-in closet for her. It was just incredible. And she was nothing but...
Trouble
for him, yeah.
Is that right? Yeah.
And I told him before it all happened, I said, don't do it.
Oh, is that right?
You're going to be sorry, yeah.
Did he... obviously, he didn't heed that advice, but did he for... the most part, heed any of your advice? Like if he said, gave you, Jeff, what do you think I'm going to, what do you think of this? I'm going
to
do this.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Everything. I was the first one he came to when he was wanting to get a divorce and all that. And he was, didn't know what to do and he was scared and I would always give him advice and stuff, but that he was, you know, I don't know. He was just, had been alone, you know what I mean? And wanted to be with somebody and she was pretty and she was, you know, all
these high,
things.
Yeah.
And yeah, she was good looking at the time. She got bigger over time went on though. And
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Your dad fed her well.
I don't know. I guess she was content.
And so, obviously, your loyalties didn't mean too much to him. Don't leave. Don't leave. If you do that, don't ever come back. Oh, by the way, you got to leave.
Yeah, it was a weird little story between us. And, you know, I never held a grudge or anything for it or whatever. But it worked out good, though. I mean, I left and I bought a house. Like, right around that, I can't remember how everything transpired, but... I guess I had been looking at houses or something and, I found the house that I wanted and, I had to wait 3 months though to take possession or whatever. So I lived with my grandmother for 3 months, which is pretty cool.
Well, sure. You probably developed and rekindled an old relationship, but yet got along with her on a different level.
Maybe a little different level. She was, it was a big thing in her life and she still talks about today that her time living with me.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And, it was cool because my grandmother and I are similar and we get along well. My mother's living with my grandmother right now and she just can't wait to get out because they just constantly butt heads. But
sure.
My grandmother and I are very similar and I got along well with her.
Sure. And being your grandmother, you try to do whatever you can to make her happy.
Help her. And I'm the kind of person that knows that, you know, if she has her ways that she wants things done or shit has to be, or you have to do this and it's her place and whatever. And I just do it. You know what I mean?
You don't screw it up.
But my mother, no, she wants, you know, why do I have to do this? Or, you know, she wants me to do this and do that. And I'm like, well, then do it. You know, whatever grandma wants, you got to do it.
That's right. It's her place.
She's earned that right anyway.
That's right. That's her home.
Yeah.
She's probably not going anywhere.
Or if it's anybody's home, I mean, you know,
yeah.
Especially if you're staying at somebody's house, you know what I mean?
Especially,
like,
yes.
You just roll with whatever changes you got to do, you know?
Now, those people who stay somewhere and they know that it's not permanent, do those people feel as though they don't have a home?
When you're in transition.
Yeah, like, you know.
Type of thing. Well, yeah. I was like that, I guess, but Yeah, I don't really know what I thought at the time because I got kicked out of my home. I was with my grandmother, which was temporary.
Right.
And I was waiting for my own new house.
Yeah.
And then my new house was kind of home. But what was funny is that eventually my dad moved into my house.
Oh, jeez.
And then I moved out of my house. And yeah. so that was kind of like home to us again. You know what I mean?
That's funny.
Because he lost his house and everything in this big divorce thing and everything.
Oh, okay.
You know, so then my house kind of became his house. So it was now home and he was really into the place and we had a garage again and all that kind of stuff, you know, and it was like,
that is too
it was
bizarre.
Home again.
That's a story.
Weird. Yeah.
Very weird.
More to it than what I, you know, once I start thinking about it, I guess there's a lot more gone on there, but, I don't know that if I considered my grandma's home, it was temporary, you know what I mean? But I don't know. There must be something that you think about your grandparents' home because, you know, if you visit there a lot and it's probably most people's closest family, maybe grandparents.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
More so maybe than aunts and uncles and things like that.
I guess what I'm trying to think of is like if you move to a new city or let's say you just move, you're in between homes, you're homesick for what you had, but you're not going back to that. So you're homesick for something. I kind of wanted to get into the homesick. What makes people homesick? What are they really sick for? Are they sick for the house? Are they sick for the people around there? Or, you know, when people, that's usually a...
I suppose it depends on the situation. Maybe, you know, there might not be anybody at back home except for the place. And you're homesick for that place and that routine that you had there maybe and how things were laid out and set up.
Yeah.
And now everything's, you know, different. That could be part of it. And then, yeah, I suppose it could be people too. If you left people behind.
Where you went on the road there for a little while in the States when you toured with Wicked Angel, did you find yourself being homesick at all or you were just having too much fun?
Yeah, you know, I thinking back on that, I don't recall being homesick. But I did notice that when I come back off the road and things were different, little changes that you see around and you realize that you weren't there for the changes. And it was things like... the scrub brushes for nails and things like that. Like there would never be one in the tub or anything like that. And some little things like that,
yeah,
that were different to me. You know what I mean? That there was these things now that they use and changes are made and
right.
I wasn't there at all for it or, you know right. what I mean?
Yeah.
If I lived there and they said, you know, oh, we got the scrub brush. You want to throw it on the corner of the tub and we can use it now for an, you know, you wouldn't think anything of it. But when these changes are made and there's things there now that people use or something that wouldn't normally have been there. It's
yeah.
different. That's the only thing that really comes to mind I can think of, but there were changes in different things, you know.
That's
what I mean?
A cool little psychic way of looking. It's not psychic, but
and then I slept on the floor for quite a while too for some reason because I don't know what the deal was with the room there or something, and I had come back and then we had got I remember we started auditioning bass players from the States and they would come and stay and we'd all sleep on the floor because there wasn't anything in that room anymore. Except my albums were there and my stereo and everything, a wall of all that stuff. But there was no bed. You know what? I think there might have been a futon.
Okay.
But it's rather than us guys sleeping on the futon, it was up into a couch or something.
Yep.
We all slept on the, I can't remember. But for some reason, at some point there, though, I don't think there was a bed or anything in the room.
You remember sleeping on the floor?
On the floor, yeah, for a long time with other bass players. Or should I say with bass players?
That's just... That's it's kind of like being homeless as well. Like, you know, you just crash wherever. You crash on the floor.
But it's at home, so.
Yeah. I've slept on many floors, that's for sure.
Me too. And couches and outside, cars, wherever.
Oh, yeah. Sleeping in a car is probably the worst.
I suppose.
Sleeping outside.
Unless you're driving somewhere, it's comfortable to sleep in a car. I mean, I find I can sleep easy in a car.
Really? I can't.
No.
Not one that's moving.
No?
No. And like you in
unless
a plane.
Unless you're driving yourself. Then you feel more at ease.
Sleeping and driving.
Maybe it's the driver.
It's like you when you go on an airplane, you just feel like I got no control. So if I'm sleeping, I'm very aware of when the guy's on the
brakes.
Yeah,
I don't think I can sleep on an airplane or anything like that. But I mean, yeah, it just depends, I guess, too, who's driving. I know if I suppose it does depend who's driving. I don't know if I could sleep in the car if Lana was driving or not. I could sleep in the car if my dad was driving.
There you go.
If we're like on vacation or something like
sure,
that.
Sure, of course. Total trust.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not going to hurt his children. I wanted to, what if you...
That's actually a good show topic. Would you trust someone when or if or, you know what I mean?
Trust.
Yeah, trust the show.
Trust
show.
The trust
when
show.
When driving or when handling some affair for you or with your kids, or trust, you know.
Yep.
That'd be something.
That'd be something that you should be writing down for the next show topic.
Oh, I'll remember.
Yeah, whatever. You should actually have the show topic editing page up on your computer, just off somewhere, and just type it in as you're going.
Yeah, I should.
I want to discuss the people in New Orleans who lost their homes and couldn't go back ever. I mean, up to this point, there's homes there that are they're done.
Yeah,
people just lost. And then their
eventually,
homes.
They're going to get a new home.
Eventually, they're going to get a new home,
and then that is going to be home. But when it's that abrupt, maybe I don't know that anything could ever be home again. Or when you've been through something that devastating, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
Could anything else be home again?
And a lot of that seems to strike me is the culture of the people down there and what they thought of that. You know, they felt very attached to that area. Their home in that area, that was something very near and dear to their hearts. Not that anybody else isn't. It isn't near and dear to their hearts. But I just I think it's a very unique situation that so many people had to flee their homes, and those homes are still sitting, rotting, basically.
Yeah.
In the heat and the water that saturated their walls and stuff. Sad stuff.
Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig. Brought to you by Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show at BigJD.com and by the Border City Radio Podcast at BorderCityRadio.com.
From Brick by Brick, this is Iggy Pop. Song called Home.
Street. Homeboy, homeboy, everybody needs a home. Homeboy, homeboy, everybody needs a home. So many people rise and fall. Who's looking after you at all? Nobody knows anybody at all. Strangers in paradise down at the mall. Homeboy, homeboy, everybody needs a home. Homeboy, homeboy, everybody needs a home. Home, home, everybody really needs a home. Home, home, everybody. We'll be right back.
Iggy Pop, Home from Brick by Brick. Cool CD, actually.
Yes, it is. How old is that?
Oh, geez.
That's going to be... I don't
know, 80s or something?
I was going to say 25 years.
Pretty old. I'm not really sure. When you don't have the CDs anymore and everything's digital, you kind of lose track of when everything came out, I find. And you can't really look at the CD to find everything anymore.
Supposedly, the Apple at that event, they're going to introduce something called Cocktail, where it's going to you're going to be buying packages. It's going to include artwork, lyrics, and other special features or whatever. I don't know.
The Apple event, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? So they're going to have that for like all bands eventually? Or?
Yes. Yeah. So new releases that come out are going to have this added material. I'm kind of interested to see what it is.
So how do you get at this added material?
You download it.
Oh, and it's aside from, like, it doesn't have anything. Is it going to be anything to do with iTunes itself?
I suppose there's going to be new iTunes they're going to be releasing.
So you're going to get this artwork you're going to see in, like, PDFs in iTunes kind of thing or something?
I don't know if it's going to be PDFs or not. That's a good, really good question.
But they've had that before, right? You are able to, able to look at PDFs in iTunes.
Yes, there's booklets, CD booklets that you get in PDF form. So iTunes is going to be bigger and more bloated.
Bigger and better. Yeah, great for my PowerBook.
That's what I'm thinking. They got to either take something out and introduce a new program, the store program, everything to do with the store, and then iTunes is just your what you organize and archive your music in. Because it's just becoming too much for one program. It's just like doing
it's a big bloated program already, really. It's pretty size-ish.
I have not looked at the size of iTunes lately.
Yeah, I think iTunes is like 150-some megabytes now. Maybe we'll discuss it a little further in Tech Talk.
Tech Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and string and cans. We cover it all. Yeah, that's right.
What I wouldn't mind talking a little bit about, and I don't know how much you know about these, it's the USB guitars. You know, USB, you plug USB cable into a certain guitar made for that, and you can just plug right into your computer and record. I wonder how well they work and if there's any special, you know, tracking type thing that... You know, I used to have a guitar synth, and you could play any instrument on the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty good for the most part. And you could set it up pretty good to track pretty good. And it had its own pickup that would pick up from your strings and everything. But there were times where you would get a digital fluctuation sound sometimes where you didn't want it, you know. Or sometimes you'd bend a string and it would pop into the next, you know, the next step note without actually bending. There's a few things like that sometimes that you had to be careful of. But then that was a synthesizer with its own, you know, so this might be a little bit different, but guitars, there are some companies that make guitars that are USB, and Behringer makes a couple of them.
Yes, they do. If you Google it up, that's what you're going to find is a Behringer guitar. Then there's this IAX.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who makes the IAX USB electric guitar. But it's a full-size, regular, you know, it's like a computer guitar, basically. That's the same. I get the same deal. I'm not sure who makes that company, but
then again, what I'm thinking of, it can't be too much, and it's only $100.
It's $100, yeah.
You know, it can't be.
Oh, it is Behringer. Yeah, okay.
Is it?
Yeah.
You know, when you take your guitar and you plug it into some device that converts the signal for the computer or whatever, you know, via USB cable or whatnot. I guess it can't be much different than that, really.
Why $100? I don't understand. How good can that be?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Behringer. Behringer is, I don't know. They make some pretty cool stuff, and they're not expensive. I think their stuff is okay. You know what I mean? Especially for the average user, average consumer, you know, I don't know that it's pro gear. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I would
but
say,
they also fill some niches, too.
Exactly. They fill niches that
we could have talked about my wedge monitor, actually.
Why, is that a Behringer?
Yeah, it's a Behringer wedge monitor. It's powered, 125-watt wedge monitor to use, you know, for band practice is what I got it for. But you don't often find a powered monitor.
right.
that's just powered on its own.
So have you played in a room with your guitar and the bass and the drums kicking?
No, I haven't, but I've checked it out here, and it's pretty loud.
Well, something seems pretty loud, but when you're in a room...
I was singing through a 100-watt bass amp is what I've been singing through
okay.
at live practices.
Yeah.
So this has got to be at least that good. And that thing worked good and picked up my vocals well when we recorded and everything, the bass amp.
That's funny.
So this thing, I'm sure, is going to be pretty good.
I hate the whole 100-watt, 125-watt. It's all about rating, and every company rates their... watts differently.
Yeah, but I think you get some idea, some indication, you know what I mean, as to how loud it is. Like, usually something that's, I mean, my guitar amp is only 50 watts and it just kicks ass.
It kicks. It's probably way louder than that monitor will.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
But depending on what you have in the monitor, too, I think with actually plugging a mic in vocals is going to be a little bit different than plugging my guitar into the monitor. It'll probably be pretty loud.
What are the inputs on the monitor?
The inputs are, there's a quarter inch input and there's also the XLR.
XLR.
Mic. Yeah. So you can plug a mic direct in, and there's also quarter inch and XLR outs to plug in them into another wedge monitor. So you'd actually have double the power and could use more than one monitor. You can use these actually, you know, kind of on stage if you want to set your own monitor mix right from the unit.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
And it's got an EQ and it's got a feedback control. It's the Behringer F122, I don't know how they actually say it. F1220A, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And just to tell you a little bit about it, it's a 12-inch woofer, 1-inch compression, driver and feedback filter, high-performance 125-watt active monitor system for live and playback applications, and you can plug in like other things to it, like a CD player or something like that to listen to tunes to.
So it has
an
1/8-inch jack in?
It does. No, no. That's
a
quarter inch still.
Quarter inch, yeah. Okay. It doesn't have a Nutrix connection?
What?
Nutrix.
What's that?
Speaker connection. You plug in and turn and it locks in. It's
no.
It's just like a ring and a hole in the middle.
No.
No, okay.
But it also does have the hole in the bottom, you know, the thing to put it on the big stands.
Yep.
Whatever they call it, might say right here. Exceptional sound quality, wide frequency bandwidth, and dynamic range. Adjustable feedback filter and integrated limiter for ultimate system control and speaker protection.
Wow.
Ultra low noise mic line input with volume control and peak LED. Dedicated 3-band EQ for perfect sound shaping. Powerful 12-inch long excursion driver provides incredibly deep bass and acoustic power. It did sound good when I checked it out, and it wasn't with a great mic. High resolution 1-inch HF driver for exceptional high frequency reproduction. Proprietary horn design for ultra wide sound dispersion. And integrated 35mm pole socket was what I was getting at
the
there.
The
pole socket for stand mounting and use as a PA system. High quality components and exceptionally rugged construction ensure long life, and conceived and designed by Behringer Germany.
It's
by the way, Behringer is a German company.
Yes, Behringer. It's interesting. I went to go look for your monitor, and everyone is there's not one English on the first page. There's no English version of a description. This is the first one I found, which was on the second page.
Oh, you got to go right to Behringer, and it's easier.
That would have been the idea. I just wanted to see the input plate.
But it carries well, too. Bringing it up from downstairs, it's like really, it's not that awkward, not that heavy. You know, it's got a nice handle, and it's going to be great.
And now you just have to buy the rest of the band.
Yeah, we have to find a place to practice.
Is there anybody else in the band doing harmonies or anything like that?
No.
What?
Nobody else sings.
I'm just asking.
Don't let them.
Why?
That's the way it is. Nobody writes. Nobody sings. You just play. Do what I tell you.
Well, the play. Singing is playing.
No.
But it can make you sound better.
No. Harmonies. I sound great already. No, we don't have harmonies.
I'm just asking.
No, no. Seriously, though, this is it's just a heavy blues and there's no harmonies.
It's just heavy blues.
Don't
baby.
Want them. I was never into them. I've been into gang vocals, but...
Gang what, huh? Well, that's cool.
So I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. So I can just plug a mic in and boom. But the only thing I do need on it, which it would be nice if it had a little reverb, is some reverb or delay. But I've got the Art Multiverb for that.
Oh, there you go. That'll work.
I wouldn't mind getting sometime a $29 another Behringer pedal, a reverb pedal or something. It would be just easier to cart around than that pain in the ass art multiverb thing. It's, you know, bigger, heavier.
Oh, right.
It's got the rack mount corners that will dig into everything that you set it up against.
Yes, exactly. That's what you'd want. No, I don't see a picture of the input plate. That's okay. Just wanted to check it out.
What, for the stand, you mean?
No, where all the inputs come in. Is it near?
It's all right in the front, left side.
Yeah.
Okay. Everything goes right in the front, except for on the far side is, I think, a jack for the cable to plug into to another one, and also the power switch, like on one side.
Yep.
But there's a strip down the, when the wedge is facing up at you, mm-hmm. on the left side is a strip with everything right there in front.
Is it a good angle?
Nice angle, yeah.
Yeah. Because some are, don't, they point at your waist sometimes, you know what I mean?
Well, I don't know that it points really straight up at you, but usually they tend not to do that because of the microphones itself. You know, you don't really want it pointing right up at your, where your face is. That would be ideal for hearing it, but it's not ideal for feedback and that kind of thing. So usually they're not going to, you know, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But usually the ones like you buy the more consumer type.
Yep.
And they're not those big, huge suckers on the stage.
Sucker.
They tend to not as often point way up.
Okay. Cool.
So anyway, but that's something to consider anyway, if somebody needs something like that. And that's it for Tech Talk. So let's move on to the Jabber quote. What happens in that instance? It just keeps going?
Just keeps going, yeah.
Oh, okay. Didn't shut off, at least.
I don't get why. It seems to be more sensitive to that now for some reason. I don't know how it can detect feedback.
I wish they would just leave that out of it, because I don't care about all that crap. There's no feedback going on.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Loud, I don't understand. And it's happening more and more.
Well, you've got AppleCare. Well, so do I. Oh, no, I don't. I only have it for a limited time.
Oh, I see.
Did you call and find out?
To make the phone call.
Yeah, sure. Why not? And then we can have that on the, for Jeff and Mike on the Easy Mac podcast. They'd want to talk about that. I'm sure they never would.
Yeah, I'm sure they never have. Mm-hmm. This week's Jabber Quote brought to us by Steve and Larry. Fine purveyors of used homes. Have you lost your home? Do you need to get a new home? Go to Steve and Larry's on the corner of Wabash and Strabane in beautiful Burbank, California.
Former home of Jay Leno and company.
I wonder what that's going to be like.
I wonder which our quote is here. Home is not where you live, but where they understand you.
That's by Christian Morgenstern. That's a good one. I like that.
So where you're understood, maybe where you're appreciated, that's what I call home.
Yes.
But you think of that in the context of family, yeah. But if you went away to school somewhere and your former friends or friends from school, maybe you don't see them all that much anymore, but they understand you, maybe more so than your folks and people back home, and you go to visit every once in a while or whatever, I don't know that you'd consider that home, because that's where you're most appreciated or most understood. And not so much at home, because home, I think, would still be home. But
yeah, that one's out there.
I think it's just a saying, though. You know what I mean?
It's a quote.
Like, when you get deep into it, it's not so, you know.
Exactly.
So, well, I think we talked about this at some point in time in the past. Would you consider moving from your home at some point in time when the kids are grown up? And would you want to? Did you ever talk about that? Did you ever think that you guys would move?
Oh, yeah. Once our kids move out of the house.
An apartment maybe? Or would it be another house?
I think, if anything, we'd buy a retirement home, which would be much smaller than what we're living in now. Mm-hmm. And it would be somewhere where I want to be.
Where do you want to be?
Either, I'm thinking California, Arizona, maybe Texas or BC. Those are places I think I could
feel. Where all the fires are.
California and BC is where all the fires are. Which I'm surprised you didn't bring up on the news, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's, I wouldn't have brought up the BC because that's Canadian news. I don't know anything about Canada.
Right, of course.
Has to be American, but
you're always going to get fires out there.
Well, didn't we just recently talk about the fires at all?
They've been going on steady. California's having them steady.
I was talking to somebody about the fires, though, and mentioning the fact that the fires in California are out of season. They're having all this trouble, and the season's just coming up where they're going to have fires.
Yeah, it's because that fire supposedly was started by arson. I read that this morning in the news. And the conditions are just north of California or Los Angeles, where all those TV towers are, I guess. There hasn't been a fire there in 50 years. So there's 50-year-old brush there that is just dead and
waiting. Yeah, the stuff just crumbles.
Right.
And to top it all off, I don't think there's been really any rain there in a long, long time.
Right. Rain doesn't happen there in La La Land.
So what's going on next week on the Jabbercast? What are we talking about? Did we Raw Food Show? Is that the one that's still...
That's the one that is still raw.
Yeah.
It's a mess. It's a mess show. Hopefully I'll get to that this week.
That's going
to
be our bonus show in case there's a problem. But I guess next week's going to be the Dumbest Things show. The Dumbest Things We Ever Did. How about you? Email us or send us your audio message about the dumbest thing you ever did, and we'll add it to the show. And how can they do that?
They can go to the website, which is thejabbercast.com. That's thejabbercast.com. And scroll down to the bottom of the page here, and you'll see the little My Chingo widget, which you can just push the button that says record your message. And we get it on the other end. You talk into your computer and leave a message, and we'll play it. Especially if you have something that's really dumb, which I can't imagine a lot of people are going to say, hey, you know what I did that was dumb? But I don't know. The Don and Jew has a section where you can call in and tell your darkest secret. A lot of people say some pretty wacky stuff there.
Yeah. Well, I think for most people, it's all in fun when talking about the dumbest thing you ever did. You know what I mean? And they're not so as much embarrassed by it as they are. Maybe want to share a funny story, you know? You know what I did one time was so dumb and, you know, a couple laughs out of it.
Right. Maybe if I think about it, both of us got iPhones recording devices in our hands. You just walk up.
We can talk to some people, yeah.
Hey, it was the dumbest thing you ever did.
That's a great idea.
Thank you very much.
Love that.
Okay.
Only get it from Lippo here on the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email Big JD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback occurred. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.